I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to look at a great parallel today. If you have not received a bookmark, I've got mine right here, but they're back there on the table, and they got a question that says, what's God inviting you to join Him in doing in 2019? And when we look at this passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 4 today, we're going to look at two people that had the exact same choice that made different choices that has for eternity affected people. All right, so I want you to think about that while you're turning to Exodus chapter 4. My fear is that there's a group of people in our church that believe in a God who is at work, but they just don't believe that that God will do anything through them. Example, yesterday I was at home. I was kind of, you know, rainy, couldn't do all the things I wanted to do. My phone rang and it flashes, no caller ID. At first I was like, I ain't answering that. And I thought, hey, I'll toy with somebody. So I answer the phone. Somebody with 26 words of broken English informs me that I have won $1.5 million. Boy, I did not call the stewardship committee and tell them I no longer need to be paid. I did not call my children and tell them our lives have changed forever. You know what I did? I did exactly what you did. I chuckled and hung up. You know why? Because I know ain't nobody going to give me $1.5 million. But I want to ask you something. Is there anybody here that don't believe God will use you? That's the great thing about looking at these two individuals. One of them is named Moses. Moses was chosen by God from the time of his birth. A hedge of protection was placed around him. He lived 40 years in Pharaoh's house. He had the best of the best of the best of the best. And one day lost his temper and killed somebody. When he knew that he had been discovered, he ran and spent 40 years on the backside of the wilderness tending sheep. One day, he saw something burning. He saw a fire. He saw a bush. It was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. He was drawn to that light. He went, and God gave him an incredible assignment. But that dude did not want to do it. Did not want to do it. Now, listen, I want to encourage you in two ways this morning. I first and foremost want to encourage you to answer the question about what God is inviting you to do. When our Sunday school class this morning, the fifth and sixth graders answered that question, and I was shocked at what they wrote down. I was blown away by what they said they believed God wanted them to do this year. I know some fifth and sixth graders that are just about to get busy. They are about to get real busy if that's what they believe. What I want to encourage us to do today is remember, if you serve on a committee, you should have gotten a sheet. A ministry team, you should have got a sheet. But then individually, I want to encourage you, that portion of the bulletin that says, Welcome to Grace, I want you to tear it off. And I want you to write on there what you honestly believe God is inviting you to do in 2019. Where's 3 years? What does it matter? I want you to do that because I don't want you to put your name on it. Okay? It's not about names. We're not about to get into who's got the biggest spiritual muscle contest. This is about hearing from God and doing what God said. And at the end of the month, 1st of February, we're going to publish what all these things that God has called us to do. We're going to see what God wants to do this year. And I think it's going to be really exciting. The people I want to talk to this morning is a person that said, I just want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to be bothered with all that stuff. I said that prayer. I did what that preacher said, and I want to go to heaven when I die. Look at Exodus chapter 4. We're going to do kind of a falling of what down through here. We're not going to read every chapter of it, every verse of it, because there's so much. We're going to go to the New Testament. But I want you to look at verse 1. Moses is standing now. He's talking with God, and he has got to decide in his heart, is God's word enough? All right? Is God's word enough? Moses answered and said to God, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice, and suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Now, let me ask you something. If you want to see, or tell you something, if you want to see God do amazing things, do you know what the first decision we have to make is? When God says it to us, we have to believe it. We have to make the decision, because the very thing that I can guarantee you is God is going to happen. If you believe God has spoken to you, you can get ready, because somebody's going to say, God didn't say that. God didn't tell you that. And then we have to make a decision. And then look at verse 10. This is one of my personal favorites. All right. I asked you last week to take your card out to write down. Remember those three things that every decision everybody's got to make. Listen, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But today, I want you to take your card out. And this is what I want you to write on your card. This is my favorite. I want you to write down what you think your best excuse is not to have to do what God says. All right, does everybody understand that? Because listen, can we be honest? Don't we all have our favorite go-to excuse? Don't we? A yes goes there. Hello? A yes goes there. Do we not all have our favorite excuse, or y'all just don't want to admit it today? Y'all going to make me work hard today, I can tell. But I'm up for it. All right, so God says, Moses says, what did they say? God hadn't spoken to you. And that's when, if you read, he told him to throw his staff down. It becomes a stick. He grabs it by the tail, picks it up. It becomes a stick again. He sticks his hand in. It comes out, and it becomes leprous. All right? So Moses thinks, this is my go-to, I've got it, I don't have to do it excuse. So this is it. In verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant." You know what Moses said? I had a problem before and I still got my problem. Don't we love that as people? He's like, I'm not going to do it. And then he says, "I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord?" And then verse 12, he says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." Now, let me ask us this. Does not every person in this room believe they have got an ironclad excuse that even God will accept? Hey, we might as well talk about this. Listen, we might as well just stop and have church. All right? Okay. Everybody in here has to understand that everybody in here has got their go-to excuse. Now, I don't want to start naming them. I don't want to have to name, "I'm too old," and then all the old people raise their hand. I don't want to have to name, "I'm too young," and then all the young people raise their hand. "I've got a problem, and so I can't." Listen, if God is not greater than your excuse, then you know just how big your God is. Amen. And if your God will accept your excuses, we do not have the God of the Bible. Now listen, I've offered God what I thought was some pretty good excuses through the years. And this is what God did when I offered him my excuses. God is not interested in our excuses. And what we have to realize is when God speaks to our heart, no matter what we think our excuse that is so good that even God will accept it, we have to realize God is not going to accept it. So look at verse 13. Let's just pretend for a minute that God did accept our excuse. And he said, "So Moses said, Oh, my Lord, please send the hand of whomever else you may send." All right. And so Moses said, "Hey, listen, I got this problem. And would you just send somebody else?" So let's just pretend that verse 14 is not there. Let's pretend in verse 14, God said, "Okay." Is that how it works? What does verse 14 say? What does verse 14 say about how the Lord responded to Moses' excuse? It said he was angry. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart." Listen, we need to just in our hearts accept, understand, process, believe, and deal with, there is no excuse that we can offer God that's going to hold water on Judgment Day. Amen. All right? It's not. And until we realize that, we're never going to be committed to doing God's will. And the reason that we're not going to be committed to doing God's will is because we think, "I have got an ironclad excuse. I'm going to get by with this. I'm going to be smarter than God." Look at verse 5. Chapter 5, and look at verses 22 and 23. This is our favorite go-to when it gets hard excuse. All right? In verse 22, "So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why have you brought this trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and neither have you delivered your people at all. I'm going to paraphrase that for you. You know what Moses said? Moses said, I tried it, God, and it didn't work. Anybody want to give a witness? I did what you said, and look what happened. Now, I'm going to do what I want to. Right? So he offers his excuse. He realizes this is not going to end well. He decides to do what God says. And if you go back, we're not going to look at all of those 10 plagues. But each one of those 10 plagues represented a god of the Egyptian. And so the Lord just walked one by one by one by one through their gods to show that there's no God like Jehovah. But Moses is right in the middle of it, right in the thick of it. And he says to God, God, really? Really? We got this far. And when I face these moments like this, the way I like to think of them is this. God has not brought me this far to put me down. And when we make a commitment that we're going to serve the Lord, when we make the commitment that we're going to do what God said, we have to realize that it's going to be difficult. Now, we're not going to read in Exodus chapter 6, but if you do, what you'll realize is, when Moses said these things to God, God did not appeal to Moses based on the conversation that God had with Moses. God appealed to the conversation he had with Abraham. And when we realize that God is at work and it's bigger than we are, it's greater than we are, and it has a purpose greater than what we can know, at that moment we're going to be able to connect with the God of the universe. Turn to Exodus chapter 11 and let's look at verses 9 and 10. In Exodus chapter 11, this is what is astounding to me. When I was reading this, I mean, I found myself going, wow, when I read this. Here comes Pharaoh. He is the king of the Egyptians. He was the one that was the most against God. But in verse 9, but the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with this portion of the Bible, the children, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they were about to leave. God did not want to destroy Pharaoh. He did not want to destroy the Egyptian people. He was going to bring his people out. Those people could have had all the blessings. They could have had all the favor of God. But Pharaoh was their leader. He would not heed, and he kept God from being able to do what he wanted to do. And the Bible says in verse 10, so Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And that word hardened means to overpower, and he did not let the children go out of the land of Israel. Now, let the children of Israel go out of his land. And this is what I want to ask you. I want you to really think about this. If we don't do what God has called us to do, do we realize that other people are going to suffer? You know, I think about things and I read in the Bible and I think about like generational sins and all those things that the Bible talks about. And I don't believe that we always understand that what God wants to do through just little old us, through whoever might think they're the most insignificant person in this room, God wants to do something amazing through you that is life-changing for a generation of people. Amen. And when we talk about that and we think about that, then we are faced to come back to what are my excuses? Why do I not want that to happen? But what happens is every time we tell God no, our heart becomes just a little bit harder. Has anybody in here ever found your heart getting just a tad bit harder? The hard-heartedness is a direct result of stubborn unbelief. If I could say anything to the Christians in this room right now, when God speaks to our heart, we cannot make it a debate. We cannot enter into this conversation that Moses did. What we have to do is, when God speaks to our heart, we have to make the commitment, God, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do it when you say, and I'm going to do it how you say, and I'm going to do it because you said. Amen. And when we get to that point, what we've gotten to is we have now made the Lord Jesus Christ King of our lives. But every time we tell God no, our heart gets just a little bit harder. It gets just a little tiny bit harder. Now, it's important that we realize that God did not harden Pharaoh's heart. What God did was God allowed Pharaoh to harden his own heart. And if we believe that we can just, no, I don't want to do that, no, I don't know, no, we have to realize that there is, every time we make that decision, that our heart's going to get harder. Now, when we put all these things together, when we see what God wants to do in our church this year, I hope that every one of us will just respond by going, because we're going to know that God has called us to do something that in and of ourselves we could never do. But when we realize that, we better get ready. We better get ready. Because we are going to want to make excuses. But if we choose to do those things, all of those are going to cause our hearts to get harder. Hold your finger in Exodus and turn to Mark chapter 8 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 8. I want to look at what Jesus said. He has just given a warning in verse 15. And he calls that warning the warning of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And what he talks about is, he talks about there's two things that cannot get mixed up in our life. And that leaven represented a very small part that was put in the dough and it causes it to rise. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, when he warns of the leaven of the Pharisees in verse 15, he's warning us about the dangers of religion. And when he talks about the leaven of Herod, he's talking about the dangers of trusting in the government. Now, if I were today able to speak to Southern Baptists as a whole, I would offer to you that as Southern Baptists as a whole, our trust is not in the Almighty. Because if it is, we would do what he said. And we can't be a part of a dying denomination and say, well, we have to be trusting in the Lord because look what God is doing through us. And I'm talking about collectively. I'm not just talking about those of us in this church. But collectively, we cannot possibly be putting our faith in the Lord, because if it was, our denomination would be going in a different direction. And so then what we have to ask ourselves, do we put our trust in religion? Do we put it in the government? Or do we put it in Fox News? Because I hear way more people talking about what they see on Fox News than what they read in the Bible. And we got to understand something. We've been warned, don't do that. Because, look at verse 17, Mark chapter 8. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? And then look at this question. Is your heart still hard? You know what? Every person in this room gets to answer that question. I want to ask us collectively, is our heart still hardened? And in verse 18, he said, having eyes, you do not see. Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? You know what it is we remember? We remember the greatness of our God. We remember what God can do. We remember those times when God showed up and showed out. And he did what could not be explained by anything other than that God did it. And what we have to make sure in our hearts is we do not allow our hearts to become hard. You know how we keep our hearts from becoming hard? The first thing we do is we have to repent, confess, and repent of our sin. Listen, I cannot have sin in my heart and it not make my heart hard. Cannot. It starts right there. It starts with that just openness before God, saying, God, I want you to create in me a clean heart. I want you to give me that, renew in me a steadfast spirit. And when we know those things, then we're able to do what God has called us to do. That's with sin. I'll tell you another thing that will make our hearts hard. Another thing that will make our hearts hard is telling God no. I think for the last 15 minutes I've tried to say that. But if I tell God no, I'm not doing that, and I've tried that. I'm not going to bore you with the story again, but I've tried that. It does not work. We do not have the right to tell God no. In Hebrews chapter 3, this is what the Bible says. This is verse 7 and 8. He said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. That verse 8 says, do not harden your heart. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Do you not want, and you have to answer this, you don't have to answer it out loud, but I do want you to answer this question. Do you not know that the greatest thing that could happen to us in 2019 is to join God in whatever he's doing? To me, the answer to that is yes. The people I want to just remind today, if you do not feel that way, if your heart is not like, well, you know, I'm kind of good, you know, I just want to say something to that person whom I have no idea. But if you find yourself in that position, you need to realize you have a tremendous spiritual problem. I mean, you have a tremendous, I'm not going to question your salvation, but you have a tremendous spiritual problem. And one of the things that as a church that it's easy to lose is the divine. Remember what happened to Samson? He played around with Delilah and played around with Delilah and played around with Delilah. And finally she told him and she cut the locks of his hair. And the Bible says that verse that scares you to death, the presence of the Lord left him and he didn't even know it. Remember that? Remember? And he jumps up and when he realizes things are different, it's too late. His strength comes back to him and all that. But the part that's astounding is the Lord's presence left him and didn't even know it. That's what a hard heart does. It so gradually gets hard. It so gradually becomes callous that you don't even realize that the presence of the living God has left you. I think an easy way to know is to just answer a series of questions. Are you concerned about the lost rooted in God's love for them? Isn't it amazing that we love people and we want people to be saved, but it's not because of us. We don't get to stand up and say, I led, you know, six people to the Lord, but we know that the Lord loves those people so much that the concern that we have for them is based on the Lord's love. Do you know and care about do you care about knowing and doing God's will? Do you offer God excuses and think that's good enough? And then the last one, do you believe the Bible? And if we say we believe the Bible, then the next question is, do we obey the Bible? And if we can understand that if we take this question seriously, those are the things that God is going to call us to do. God is going to call us to obedience. God is not going to allow us to offer him our excuses. God is going to call us to join him in knowing and doing his will. And I guarantee you, knowing and doing his will is going to lead to helping people. Not everyone would need the gospel shared with them, but it's going to lead us to people. And I want you to look in Exodus chapter 8 at verse 19. This was the second thing when I was reading this week that blew me away. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 19, Pharaoh's magicians are talking to him. And so Pharaoh was trying to imitate God. He was trying to prove that he as a ruler was equal to God. And so whatever God would do, he would have his people and they would conjure it up and try to do it. But finally, it got to the point that even his own people said to Pharaoh, it's in verse 19, it says, then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Now, I'm going to tell us something. When a pagan is standing beside us saying, that is the finger of God, we need to realize we better pay attention. Now, for these individuals to tell this man who thought he was God that this is the finger of God, that would have been an instant death sentence. But they couldn't duplicate it. They couldn't do it. They could not do what God had done. So the only thing they could do was give him glory. But the Bible says, but Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord has said. Now, these guys are telling this pagan king, God wants to do something astounding and amazing in and through your life as you join him. I want you to hear this preacher tell you this today. God wants to do something astounding and amazing through your life. Come on now. God wants to do something astounding and amazing through our lives.
Amen.
He does. Our county is starving for the divine. And they're not going to see it through pagan people. They're only going to see it through us. But I'm telling you, we love our excuses more. In Psalms 81, verse 11, this is the Lord speaking. He said, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Do you believe that we could substitute Grace Baptist Church there? Oh, but my people would heed my voice, and Grace Baptist Church would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsel. Oh, that Grace Baptist Church would listen to me. Oh, that Grace Baptist Church would walk in my ways. Could you imagine what it would mean to our county if we would just say, God, we're going to do what you said. God, we're going to believe you, and we're going to do what you say. We know it's going to be hard. We know that we're going to hit some rough places. We know it's not going to be easy. We know it, and we know we're going to want to quit, and we know, and we know, and we know. But we're making a decision right now, and we want to do it. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what you say. But you know what? I believe in my heart, and you have to correct me if this doesn't apply to you. I'm not painting with a broad stroke here. I'm not including everybody. But it seems like the great majority of people just want to go to heaven when they die. They just want to go to heaven when they die. Can't you just leave me alone? I said that prayer. I just want to go to heaven when I die. But when we do that, we are ripping ourselves off. Turn to John chapter 20. This is our invitation passage right here. In John chapter 20, there is an individual named Thomas. What do we know Thomas is being famous for? Was he famous for? I didn't get that. I heard a lot of people say. He's doubting, yes. All right, now, I want to talk to the doubters. All right. I want the doubters to like perk up right here. Now, in verse 24, this is John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. All right, so Thomas was not with them. Jesus shows up. They say, hey, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas is like, unless I see his hand in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print. Verse 25. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand there and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, let me tell you what's interesting about Thomas. Every person in here, I would have said the exact same thing. What Thomas is famous for is doubting. But this is, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. This is church tradition. I want to make sure and clarify this is not written in the Bible, okay? So this is not in the Bible what I'm about to tell you, but this has been passed down as church tradition. Now, here's my question. Does anybody in here know how Thomas the Doubter died? Does anybody know? It is church tradition that in Rome, when they were persecuting Christians, Thomas was dipped in oil, hung on a post, and set on fire, and used for a street light. That's church tradition. I want to be really clear about that. I do not want you looking for that in your Bible anywhere and come up to me and tell me it's not in there. But you know what happened? Even him, when he knew Jesus was alive, when whatever it took, when he realized it was true, he gave his life serving the Lord. Amen. That's what the realization is. Now, could Jesus step out of the veil of eternity and stand right there or right there or right there at this moment? Of course he could. But he's most likely not going to choose to do that. And the reason is because in John chapter 10, when the religious people come to Jesus, they want to kill him, but they can't decide. He keeps doing all this stuff, and every time they get their nerve up to kill him, he'll heal somebody. And then they're like, I don't know, only God can do that. And they go back and forth and back and forth. And so finally in John chapter 10, they come to Jesus and say, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? That's what they said. Like, do not pull a rabbit out of your hat. Do not do a miracle. Just answer the question. Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, I told you before and you don't believe. But then he said, look at the works I do. And the works are what was messing them up. They wanted to kill him but couldn't because of the works. And then Jesus said these words, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. Now listen, Jesus is not going to say, Jeff, put your hand right here. Feel that. Put your hand right here. He could. He doesn't check what he does with me. I check what I do with him. But you know what? You know what he said? He said, my sheep, hear my voice. And listen, when we know that God is calling us to do something, when we hear his voice in our heart, that's God saying, touch right here. Touch right here. Here, put your hand right there. Put your hand right there. And when we know that God is calling us to do something that's greater than ourselves, man, it gets exciting. It gets fun. But you know what my definition of the word rut is? A rut is just a grave with the ends knocked out. And that's all it is. Are you in a spiritual rut? Are you believing God is going to invite you to join him in doing something this year? Man, I trust your prayer is that God will speak to you. Father God, as we bow before you today, God, our purpose in coming here is to worship you. God, our purpose is to give you glory. Our purpose is to push ourselves out of the way and realize that there is no God like Jehovah. To realize that you want to do astounding and amazing things, and you want to do it through just little old us. And so, God, I pray that as we go into this invitation, first thing that would happen is that, God, our hearts would overflow, Lord, with the fact that there are 7 billion people on planet Earth, and you choose to speak to our heart. God, Lord, we're not even worthy of that. But God, I pray that when you speak to our hearts, we would know it's going to be rough. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be automatic. The world is not going to believe what you say. And so then we have to decide, do we really believe it? And God, when we want to give you our excuse, and we want to just think that we've got this ironclad way around, that this is such a rock solid that not even God would have to accept that excuse. God, I pray, Lord, that we would just realize that's not how it works. You're greater than our excuse. And God, when we get in the middle of it, we don't know which way to go, and we don't know why all this crazy stuff is happening, God, I pray that your word is going to be steadfast. So, God, as we turn our attention to you today, God, I pray that, God, we would just be reminded what a privilege it is to know that you've spoken to us and to know that we can serve you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.